T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. It is 6:03 p.m., and it is fantastic to be with you guys. Hope everyone is doing well, and we roll on until 7 p.m. of episode 215 of the number one sports radio show in the state of South Carolina, as awarded by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association. We are Offsides with Mark Ryan. Lonzo, you and I talked about this a bit off the air and a little bit on the air yesterday, and I want to bring you in to a text that came in to me today from my former producer in Atlanta, Georgia, a guy that goes by the name of Rustin McDonald. And this is what he says to me. 2:14 p.m., I'm prepping my show, doing my thing. All of a sudden, I'm in my zone, Lonzo, and I get disturbed by this, okay? If Brady doesn't sign with the Pats, he goes to the Colts or Tampa. ! My response, I do not understand the excitement for Brady and Rivers washed up. He says, but those guys need an offense worth a bleep. Brady or Rivers in Tampa or Colts or even in Pittsburgh, they're not washed up. I said, I'm so bored with both of them. Rivers is the most snake-bitten quarterback ever. He sucks, dude. The soap opera that happens every year in San Diego was a joke. They lose more starters than any other team. Folks, like, Lonzo and I are agreeing too much lately. I don't understand the fascination with Tom Brady and Philip Rivers and where they're going. 5 years ago, highly interested. 3 years ago, somewhat interested. This year, do they make a difference or not? I don't think so. Tom Brady this year didn't make a difference for the New England Patriots. Philip Rivers this year didn't make a difference for the Los Angeles Chargers. Suddenly, these guys are going to discover the fountain of youth. You know, my former co-host in Tampa, Booger McFarland, told me once, he's like, look, Father Time is undefeated. And then I had him on the show and he said, Father Time has one loss to Tom Brady. That's the only loss Father Time has. Now we're seeing Father Time even catch up to Tom Brady. You know, what do we realistically expect Philip Rivers and Tom Brady to do for the Steelers, for the Colts, for the Buccaneers, if Tom Brady goes to the Los Angeles Chargers? The guy can't throw deep anymore. The guy can't throw an out route anymore. Philip Rivers is a walking turnover machine. You know, if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sign Philip Rivers, the only thing they're doing is stunting the development of Jameis Winston. And Bruce Arians may have it with Jameis Winston, who had one of the most statistical anomalous seasons of all time that you've ever seen. Jameis Winston had 30 interceptions and led the NFL in passing yards. Go figure that out. Brett Favre leads NFL history in interceptions. Also holds many passing records himself. But folks, for the life of me, I can't decipher why there's so much interest in where these washed up quarterbacks are going. I guarantee you that neither one of these guys is getting two games away from the Super Bowl next year. They're not that good anymore.
I'm more excited about Tom Brady leaving the Patriots so it can prove my point that he's just a system quarterback. And I know I've said it forever, and then people will say, well, he didn't do so well wherever he went because of his age. That's fine. But I want to see what Belichick can do without him. I think that's more the story than the other two.
And I think it's going to be fascinating. And Lonzo, I think you're going to have your answer next year. But keep in mind, even this year, you were seeing a 50% Tom Brady, Lonzo. You weren't getting the best of Tom Brady. Bill Belichick is brilliant. I think Tom Brady at his best is a computer, Code Blue that played Jeopardy. Code Blue beat everybody in Jeopardy. Tom Brady was code blue playing the quarterback position, man, diagnosing everything before it happened. That's one of the reasons Joe Burrow was so good at the collegiate level, man, is that, you know, he's diagnosing things at a level that other guys, even Trevor Lawrence, can't do. But for the life of me, I can't, you know, I don't understand what exactly people think Brady and Phillip Rivers and these guys are going to do at the next level. It's completely and totally senseless to me. Let's get to Tony, who's up next on the show. Hey, Tony, thanks for the call, bud. You're offsides. Happy New Year, Tony.
Happy New Year to you guys. Great show, great time slot, right
Thank
where you.
You
guys belong.
Appreciate it.
I got a couple things. So don't hang up on me too quick. Number one, I disagree that Tom Brady is a system quarterback, unless your system means I don't have any talent around me offensively. If that's the system you're talking about, I believe it. If you put Tom Brady with the Chargers and give him the opportunity Phillip Rivers has, number one, you're not going to get 30 interceptions. Tom Brady don't turn the ball over. He makes smart decisions with the ball. You give him that wide receiver a group, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. You give him Melvin Gordon and even a good defense with the Chargers. Tom Brady can certainly get to an AFC Championship game and possibly a Super Bowl.
Based on what? Based on what that you saw? Their offense was so limited, and I realize, look, Julian Edelman was really all they had. They released Antonio Brown, who's totally, totally wet the bed, personally and professionally. I understand what you're saying. I think Tom Brady. Tom Brady goes to the Buccaneers. I think they go from 7-9 to 10-6. If he goes to the Chargers, I think they go from 5-11 to 9-7. I don't see him as being capable of competing with the likes of Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, the best young up and coming quarterbacks in the NFL today. I don't see it, man.
I do. I see him doing extremely well with that talent around him, being able to run it and throw it. And Tom's only got to throw it 40, 45 yards down the field, and he can do that. Mike Williams would be in Los Angeles, would be the only serious deep threat where he really had to uncork one 60 yards. And does he have that in him? Probably not. But to change it a little bit, I don't see Rivers going to Tampa Bay, and Jameis Winston is a, let's not forget, just a few years ago, he was 29-0 as a starter at Florida State, just like Trevor Lawrence or the Clemson was 29-0. So Jameis Winston, by no means would I be giving up on him for a Phillip Rivers or even Tom Brady.
I wouldn't either.
I just think that the Chargers are the team. If you're going to give someone that you love, that the game loves so much and has given so much to the game, you give Tom Brady an opportunity with those weapons with the Chargers and say, here, now you got them, no excuse, see what you can do with them. And I think they're a 11-5 team, and who knows what happens in the playoffs.
Appreciate.
My second point,
one
more point
All
about
right.
the portal. Do we even know who Joe Burrow is without the portal that
no.
you do not like so much?
No, we don't. We don't.
Okay.
I believe, Tony, listen, I'm not saying get rid of a player's right to transfer, okay? I don't like what's happening societally, and Dabo Sweeney and I don't like that players can just jump ship at the first sign of trouble, the first sign of stormy seas, and there's no penalty anymore, and the coaches can't restrict transferring to rivals anymore. To me, rivalries in college football are sacred. If you commit to Florida, you shouldn't be able to play for Florida State. If you commit to Clemson, you shouldn't be able to play for South Carolina. Here's to you, Tavian Feaster. I wholeheartedly believe that because I'm an old-school college football historian. I'm an old-school college football fan. I believe Joe Burrow should be able to transfer. Joe Burrow stayed at Ohio State for 3 years, Lonzo. 3 years, and he didn't get his opportunity. That's not who I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about the guys that gave it everything they had and they just were not getting an opportunity after years of effort. Joe Burrow gave it that effort. He stuck it through. And now we saw that Ohio State screwed the pooch. Ohio State made a big mistake. And Lonzo, my producer, has got to deal with heartbreak Because if they would have started Joe Burrow over Dwayne Haskins, if they would have started Joe Burrow over Justin Fields, in my opinion, they'd have a national championship now. Sorry. Just being real.
You possibly could be right, but we don't know. Because there again, Ryan Day's offensive system may not have fit Joe Burrow the way Joe Brady did.
Anything fits Joe Burrow.
We'll find out when he gets to the next
Joe
level.
Joe Burrow's the Michael Jordan of college football, man. He was doing 76% completions. You kidding me? Let's check on Twitter. He's Jacob Smith, new follower. Welcome to the show, Jacob. Appreciate you, buddy. Happy New Year. He's obviously not that dude, Tom Brady, anymore. I think Brady could absolutely be a high-level game manager if surrounded by the right talent. He didn't look washed. He looked old and banged up on a bad offense. Rivers, that's exactly it. That's a great point by you, Jacob Smith. I'm right with you on where Philip Rivers is. There's no doubt about that. Check on our text line. Why are athletes treated differently than regular students? I can transfer to any school that will accept me as a regular student. The difference. Okay, yeah, the difference is that you sign on the dotted line for the school to pay you over $100,000 in costs that you are allowed to keep in your pocket. Okay, that's the commitment you make. It's about maintaining your commitment to the school. And Joe Burrow gave it 3 years, man. I mean, I think that's the perfect scenario of where you would allow a transfer. I really do. Bill Callahan as the Browns offensive coordinator, upgrade from Kitchens. Good show, guys. Appreciate the kind words, sir. Bill Callahan again. Lonzo, no offense, I'm in the anti-retread business. You know, I'm in the anti-retread business when it comes to filling.
Why do you say no offense as if I like retreads?
Well, I'm saying it to the texter here because he obviously wants to hear.
You said my name first.
He wants to hear something
that.
Good about his Browns, and I don't have anything good to say. Bill Callahan bust as a head coach of Nebraska. Bill Callahan bust as a head coach of the Raiders. Some guys are much better coordinators and coaches. Wade Phillips, Norv Turner among them. But Bill Callahan, to me, again, retread. I don't want a retread to be our hire at in the midday show. You know, I don't want, and I'm anti-retread when it comes to head coaches.
You know, I get all that, but is Bill Callahan an upgrade from Freddie Kitchens?
I'm not sure that he is. Give me.
I guess time will tell.
Listen, Joe Brady, can we just talk about that guy for a minute? How excited are you? And I know there's a question mark there, Lonzo, and I know he's unproven outside of one season in LSU. But you talk about excitement, man. The Carolina Panthers are going to have LSU's offense. Do you realize that?
But they have to build around it.
I'm not sure.
I mean, we're not going to know how good it is for a couple of years. Probably.
I get it, but they have the brainchild of a historic offense. LSU had Joe Burrow last year. They were mediocre. They were good. Not mediocre. They were good. They've become historic with Joe Brady. A texter says, Mark, Tom Brady can most certainly win 10 or 11 games with the Chargers. He's cerebral at dissecting defenses, and LSU and LA has weapons on offense and a good defense too, but Philip Rivers is done and should just retire. I don't disagree with you that Tom Brady could win 10 or 11 games with the Chargers. I don't disagree with that. My point is that neither him nor Philip Rivers are sniffing a Super Bowl. They're not sniffing the conference championship game. So if that's the goal, why would any team be interested in signing somebody that can't get you there? I don't know what I'm missing here. I don't understand what I'm missing here, and I need people to explain that to me. What is the excitement surrounding Tom Brady or Philip Rivers? Scott Myers tweets into the show, good show, guys. What do you take? Would you take Tom Brady or Baker Mayfield if you're a Browns fan?
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
Because of the upside, and you get the right coach in there and get the person to get in his head. And he's been one of the better quarterbacks that Cleveland has had, and they've had like 35 in the last 12 seasons or whatever. So if you get someone in there, and sorry, Brady may be the greatest ever, according to some people, not to me, but he's been pretty good, but he's old. He's still, you cannot get past the fact that he's an old man. He is. And he looked like an old man this year.
If you want to ruin Baker Mayfield, sign Tom Brady. Because the poor guy has had X number of head coaches, X number of offensive coordinators. The only consistency he's had is inconsistency in his tenure as the Cleveland Browns. And now you're going to bench him because you got somebody else. You want to throw away the number one overall pick? Sign Tom Brady. you know, and spin your wheels and maybe win a couple more games, maybe go 9-7, 10-6, and lose the first round of the playoffs, and now you've ruined your number one overall pick for good. Now he's not going to resign with you under any circumstances. I don't get it. I don't get it. There are very, very few teams that I believe that I think are good fits for Tom Brady or Philip Rivers. All right, coming up next on the show, she is one of the most insightful guests you could ever have on the show. She is one of my good friends in the sports media business. Christy Dosh, formerly the sports business reporter of ESPN, now an author and a writer for Forbes Sports Business. And she's got a fascinating article, how name, image, and likeness legislation may cause significant Title IX turmoil. Christy Dosh joins us next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. All right. My next guest has been my friend in this business for at least 10 years. I call her and her husband the power couple, the number one power couple in sports media. She is the former sports business reporter of ESPN, now a sports writer for Forbes. She helps, she controls Guide My Brand at Guide My Brand on Twitter, which helps aspiring sports media members build their brand. She has a brand new podcast out. She writes for Forbes. And that's really it. I'm disappointed in how little she's done in her career. And her husband is Chad Scott, the former executive producer of Colin Cowherd, and now a program director of 1010XL. Christy Dosh, commitment is always a strong suit. I appreciate you so much. She's in New York City right now, making a few minutes for us. Christy, are you allowed to say Happy New Year to somebody on January 22nd? It's my first time talking to you. My producer says no. I'm saying it to everybody. Happy New Year, Christy Dosh. Good to talk to you.
You know what? I had a rough start to the New Year, so I'm good saying that the New Year starts today. So
me
Happy
too.
New Year.
Me too. Pneumonia, the flu, we're starting over. We're pressing the reset button, and here we are. So, Christy Dosh, I've been teasing this interview for the majority of this show today, starting at 3 p.m. We've had a lot of people chime in wondering what take you're going to have, the gist of this point. And I think it's a fascinating one, how, in your opinion and based on your research, the name, image, and likeness compensation could really be opening up a can of worms with the Title IX legislation that already exists. Can we begin to delve into some of that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I thought of, you know, sort of thought about writing about this topic months ago when California first passed that Fair Pay to Play Act, because fans were like, why can't they just start paying players tomorrow? And I knew in the back of my head, because there's all this stuff you got to think through first. And one of those things is Title IX. And every college athletic department I know is scrambling right now to figure out what is the legislation going to look like? Where is it going to come from? And what adjustments are they going to need to make internally to make it all work?
Christy Dosh joins us on the show, has written a great article on Forbes Business right now about this very topic. You know, reading this article, Christy, a quote here from Roe Lake. Am I saying that the right way?
I think it's Julie Rowlock.
Rowlock. Okay. She says if a local business offers a sponsorship deal to a high profile prospect and the school catches wind of it, assuming it's all permissible under NCAA rules, There's a question as to whether that school's knowledge creates an obligation to try to ensure similar opportunities are offered for the other gender. Now, the reality of the situation is in college sports, because of the popularity solely of football, I think the normal capitalist market would indicate that there would be more opportunity financially for men than women. That's not to say that there aren't significantly famous female college athletes that exist today. So, you know, with Title IX and everything that Title IX brings, I don't see a way with the free market, Christy, to enforce Title IX elements here.
Yeah, and you know what's difficult? The basic thing for people to understand without getting into a lot of sort of legal mumbo-jumbo around Title IX is that Title IX applies anytime the institution is involved. And so I heard a lot of people early on reporting that Title IX was going to be no big deal because the payments were going to be coming from third parties. So say the local car dealership pays the starting quarterback. Okay, that money never goes through the athletic department. But then I spoke to the experts and they said there are so many ways that Title IX could get roped in. Like you mentioned, if the athletic department is aware that the local Toyota dealership makes some sort of deal with a prospect who hasn't even committed to the school yet, or who is maybe, just making their decision, and the institution knows about that, or let's say somebody on the board of trustees happens to work at that dealership. There are all these ways that someone could argue the institution was somehow involved, particularly when we look at how it could come in from a recruiting standpoint. And as soon as you can make any tie between the institution and between that money changing hands, Title IX is going to apply. And that's going to make it really difficult, because to keep it equitable among all student athletes, male and female, I think is going to be tough. Like you mentioned, we know that certain male athletes are going to be worth far more on the free market than any of the female athletes are going to be.
That seems to be the case. So as we look forward to solutions here, and with no idea, you know, I feel some of these states wanted to win elections, so they just pass a popular law that athletes can now make money. And it's like the scene in Jurassic Park. They were so worried about whether they could create dinosaurs, they didn't stop to think about whether they should, right?
I called a friend of mine in California, and I said, doesn't your state have problems like trying to keep from going bankrupt, and your governor is most concerned about whether or not student athletes can get endorsement deals? Like, maybe the priorities aren't where they should be.
No, that certainly seems to be the case. So as we look at this particular issue, what if you're guessing what happens here, Christy? Like, the first year that these roll out, is it 2023 that this rolls out? The first year?
For California, it's 2023. And I think that's fair. That gives the NCAA and perhaps the federal government time to kind of figure this out. But some of the other states that are trying to implement it want it implemented by this fall. I think Florida, where I live, is one of the states that said that they want it to be enacted in July or August. And that doesn't give people enough time. And you cannot manage 50 different state laws on this. It's going to have to come from the NCAA or from the federal government.
And so what do you, as it pertains to Title IX, if you were guessing, Christy, as of today, because none of us have any clue how this is going to be implemented, how this is going to work, what is going to be said in those meetings as for the solution? Hey, the foundation of Title IX was rooted in equality and fairness. Now we're trying to incorporate the free market into this, which, according to our guidelines, is the height of impropriety. So what do you think is the resolution here that the colleges and the NCAA and name and likeness, and how does this all work with Title IX?
The NCAA can't really legislate around Title IX because it's federal law. So I think in an ideal universe, the federal government would be the one to weigh in here, and they would tell us when Title IX does and doesn't apply. Title IX is really tough because the Office of Civil Rights enforces it. There is no way to really find out how they're going to rule on something until someone files a lawsuit. So it's really unclear, like, what if you, the example I gave in my article was Illinois put up a billboard in St. Louis that featured football student athletes. Okay, if I'm a female volleyball player at Illinois, can I make the case that those football students student athletes that were up on that billboard now have a better chance at getting marketing opportunities than I do, because they're being more marketed more heavily by the athletic department. And I think that volleyball player would have a really good argument. So in order to have this sort of free market sponsorship and endorsement system make any sense, I really think the federal government has to tell us when and how Title IX comes into play with this. I don't know that that's what's going to happen, but in an ideal world, that's what I would want to see.
So, Christy, as you know, as you have been a friend of mine throughout my career, one of the highlights of my career was getting to co-host with now Monday Night Football analyst Booger McFarland in Tampa for CBS Radio. Perhaps my very favorite segment of that show was when Chad Scott, your husband, came on the show and we set it up debate style, people's court style, defendant and plaintiff, for Booger and Chad to go head-to-head with the gloves off on the payment of college athletes, because Booger was very much a proponent of the payment of college athletes, and he collected on his NCAA football 2014. He collected on his EA Sports rights fee, in which they paid thousands of players a few hundred dollars each. Right. And Chad and he went at it on the air, and it was tremendous. So it was just tremendously entertaining. I know how Chad feels about this. Christy, how do you feel about this? Is this a net gain for college football, allowing players to profit on name and likeness? I'm against it because I've long felt that they're already being compensated in a way that you and I and everybody else had to pay out of pocket for.
Yeah, I feel like if you add up the value of the tuition, the room, the board, the training, the coaching, I've met Olympic athletes who are training, who are living out of their car and working three jobs just to be able to afford to go to the gym and get the training they need to compete in the Olympics. So even though there's been a free market in the Olympics for sponsorship and endorsement, it only benefits the very top of the top. And I think the same thing is going to happen in college athletics. So then when you look at the collegiate model and why it exists, and you look at the benefit they are getting, and you sort of add up with that tuition and room and board and coaching and training and all the free meals and the travel and, the healthcare and everything else that they get, I think most of them come out ahead. Are there a few athletes, especially in football and men's basketball, maybe some in baseball, maybe some in women's basketball, who could get more money on the free market? Yes, maybe. But is that what college sports was built for? No. I've always said the NBA and the NFL have put college sports in a terrible position because they don't have a strong enough development system. They are using college athletics as a development system. So these guys have no choice out of high school except to go to college, and many of them perhaps don't really want to. And we never have this argument with baseball student athletes, because if they want to go straight out of high school, they can, and they can go play minor league baseball and they can make the money. So I've always been a little irritated with the NFL and the NBA because I think they put college athletics in this position.
It's a very well-spoken take. Christy, before we let you go, can you tell us about the Business of College Sports podcast? Can you tell us about Guide My Brand?
Yeah, I finally caved. I felt like everybody else had a podcast. But I looked around and no one else had a podcast that focused on the business side of just college sports. And that's long been my passion. I have run the businessofcollegesports.com website for over a decade now. And I thought to bring it into the new decade that I needed to have a podcast. So the very first full episode went live this week, and it is all about that Title IX issue that we touched on briefly here. There's so much more to say about it. So I look forward to having more guests like that on and diving into deeper issues around the business of college sports. And I'll have a new episode every Tuesday. So would love if folks would tune in and check it out and let me know what they think.
That is fantastic. And how about Guide My Brand?
Guide My Brand is my personal branding and PR agency. We work mainly with nonfiction authors on their book launches and with entrepreneurs, particularly solo entrepreneurs and small businesses. And I love that because I spent years getting myself on TV and radio and speaking on stages and guest blogging. And now I get to do that for other people. So people can check that out at guidemybrand.com.
She is a self-made superstar. And she is one half of the number one power couple in all of sports media at Sports Biz Miss. If I could recommend one follow for you guys on Twitter, a sports follow on Twitter. She has content that you won't get anywhere else. Sports Biz Miss. She is Christy Dosh. She writes for Forbes. She's an ESPN alum, recovering attorney, brand new podcast, Business of College Sports, and the founder of God My Brand. Christy, always great to catch up with you. Those of you don't know, Christy earlier in the week reached out to me to see how I was doing recovering from my pneumonia. That's the kind of friend that she is. Appreciate you so much, dear friend. Have a wonderful 2020.
Oh, you are a true friend, too. Thank you for all the kind words, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. There you go. Christy Dosh from New York City. There, Lonzo, there you have it. She says Happy New Year on January 22nd. As far as I'm concerned, you can eat it.
I don't care what either one of you say.
You don't care?
Okay. No, I don't care. Okay. I mean, the first week of January, that's fine. After that, it's no longer a new year, okay? This is not. So when March rolls around and you see someone you haven't seen yet, you're still going to say Happy New Year.
New Year, taken literally, this is still the new part of the year, Lonzo. The first month of the year is still new, right? Just like you were saying to me, how long can you say you're new here, Mark? To me, after I've been here a year, I no longer feel like I'm new here, but I'm new here up until a year. It's a new year through the first month of the year. Come on, man.
Still after a year, you still keep hitting your microphone.
All right. Michael Stathakis, by the way, tweets in, being behind Tom Brady has never worked for an up-and-coming quarterback. Just ask Jimmy Garoppolo. Brady isn't a retread. He's a proven commodity. Just ask Jimmy Garoppolo. Obvious sarcasm there for the guy who's going to the Super Bowl. But Michael, I don't think Brady, the question is how much is left in the bottle? You know, the bottle of moonshine is empty, sir. It's empty. Sorry to say. All right, coming up next, as it pertains to baseball's Hall of Fame decisions yesterday, we're going to tie in the question, what would get you fired immediately? And I'll explain my direction, and I'll do that next. This is the number one sports radio show in the state of South Carolina, as awarded by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association. It's also the most interactive sports radio show in the state of South Carolina. You're Offsides with me, Mark Ryan, right here on ESPN Upstate.
Listen, I can handle this for you, okay? It's not that hard. Welcome back to Offsides. Lonzo here, along with Mark Ryan, who just took a bite of food and and he's mad at me because I didn't give him a warning, give him enough time. And because I am a good person, I want him to continue eating what he's eating because I hate to see him kill over or at least, you know, call into. I don't even know. What are you eating? I mean, it looks green from here.
No, it's a high iron deal. It's
there's green in there.
Some steak and some collard greens.
Okay. See?
All that good stuff. Yeah. Lonzo and I have a system in place and the system swung and missed right there. The system is in place where, you know, I got to refuel during the show. We expend so much
it's
energy.
It's supper time. It's no big deal.
And so Lonzo traditionally gives me a 30-second cue when we have 30 seconds before we come back from the break. That tells me not to take another bite. That tells me to finish chewing what I have in my mouth and be ready when we come back on the air. And this last break, there was no 30-second cue. There was no 30-second cue.
I was having technical problems, had to leave the room to fix something, came back in, okay. Didn't have time. Or maybe I just did it on purpose so I could come back from the break.
There you go.
Maybe that's what I did.
All right, to check on the text line, Mark Ryan, I knew Christy was going to go down this path. Yep, male athletes making money off on their likeness, of course, somehow affects female athletes. Bunch of crap. For the record, I think some female athletes will get deals, and deservingly so, but significantly less. Yeah, they do. But it's not, you know, you can't say, sir or madam, that her opinion is crap. She is citing what is being shared with her about the major significant legal obstacles that the NCAA is going to have, that people are going to have enforcing this. Title IX says you have to create an equitable playing field. The capitalist market says that Trevor Lawrence is worth infinitely more in terms of an endorsement than any other athlete at Clemson, man or woman, right? So, this is opening such a can of worms, this new law, this new rule. You don't know how it's going to end. You really don't. All right, I do want to get to this as it pertains to the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. You know, there is one idiot, that did not vote for Derek Jeter to make the Hall of Fame. And I can't freaking believe that. You know, like, Lonzo doesn't follow baseball at all. I am a casual baseball fan. A guy that we're going to have auditioning next week, Derek Fogel, is the preeminent Astros reporter at my former station, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. He's in the Astros locker room. He's as plugged into the cheating scale scandal as anybody. He's so knowledgeable on the ins and outs of baseball, and he pitched for Southern Illinois in Division I. You know, that guy is incredibly insightful. But even with Lonzo's intelligence, you know that Derek Jeter's a Hall of Famer. And there's one freaking idiot.
Wait. So you just called me stupid.
When it comes to baseball, yeah.
No, I'm not stupid when it comes to baseball. Just because I don't follow it doesn't mean I don't understand the ins and outs and all that kind of thing.
You thought Freddie Freeman was black.
See, you keep bringing that up. And
that's true.
That's just ridiculous. I don't need to know the color of a player to know that they're
Lonzo,
good.
If you watch baseball so little to think that Freddie Freeman is black,
I'm going to bring something up. All right. Okay. In the week where we just celebrated Martin Luther King's birthday, It's not about the color of your skin, but the content of your character.
100%.
I know he's a great player. You're the one who keeps bringing up race. And I don't know why you're doing that. I think there's some deep-seated problem there. I mean, you might need some counseling.
Okay, well, if there's some deep-seated problem, the deep-seated problem is that you don't watch enough baseball even to know what the players look like. You know, you think Freddie Freeman's related to Morgan Freeman. And that's a problem, Lonzo. It's a problem. So,
you know, problem is something that happened 7 months ago that you haven't forgotten about. And if we are so lucky or cursed to be here 5 years from now, you will still be bringing that up.
I will, because it was one of my favorite segments of all time. And guess who else had it listed as one of their favorite segments of all time? None other than the number one man in the whole building, our general manager.
Yeah, who came up to me in a restaurant and called me something that I will not repeat on the air. And I did not enjoy that. But you know what? Even through all this, even though you just called me stupid when it comes to baseball, at least I'm not rocking a mustache.
I have no comeback to that. I have absolutely no comeback to that. So my point is simply this. There is some idiot who did not vote Derek Jeter into the Hall of Fame on the first ballot. He got 99.7% of votes. The votes he got 396 out of 397 votes. Yet some idiot thought he would make a point. You know, thought he would make a point that maybe Derek Jeter is a Hall of Famer, but he doesn't deserve to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Folks, that particular voter should be fired from any job they have, effective immediately. That particular voter should have their vote immediately stripped from them, because what do you know about baseball if Derek Jeter is not a Hall of Famer in your mind? It is completely and totally senseless, which brings to me the following question. What would get you fired immediately? What should get you fired immediately? Because to me, this guy is guilty of said offense. Now, Lonzo, I think I could drop a four-letter bomb on the air, and I don't think I'd get fired, because I think you'd hit that dump button. And it's actually happened a couple of times by accident. You know, one was Mark Sturgis had a name for Chief Osceola, and I tried to say it, and I didn't say it right. And you pressed the dump button for that, right? I think the kind of things that would get you fired immediately is if you cursed your boss out, is if you said something. You don't think so? You think you can get away with cursing your boss out?
No, I think you can get away with it. I think you need to do that tomorrow.
You've been trying to get me fired ever since the Inez Kanter promo. You have.
I don't try. I do. And if I tried, you wouldn't be here.
Okay. Thanks.
By the way, that guy who didn't vote, maybe he didn't want unanimous to be a thing that happens every year.
Well, it's only happened one time.
Right. And so maybe that's the whole reason why he did that. He thought it was sacred, didn't think anybody else should get it other than the guy who did.
That's not the criteria for voting. The criteria for voting is this player a Hall of Famer or not? And
listen, I agree, but voting is not. I mean, people go in and vote because they like someone's eyebrows. I mean, that just happens.
If you don't believe that Derek Jeter is a Hall of Famer, you have no business having a vote. None whatsoever. It is beyond baffling to me that this could happen. Really. And to people listening right now, I consider this an immediately fireable offense. What would be an immediate fireable offense in your job?
No call, no
could,
show.
That you could do.
No call, no show. Those are the worst things, especially in radio. You no call, no show, and you get here and the person's not here. We are short-staffed usually, and we operate on a skeleton crew. One person doesn't show up, it causes a big problem, especially if someone doesn't hear from them.
So somebody who doesn't even bother to call in sick or
right.
says,
they
I decided to quit
up.
The job or something like that. I got a quick story for you on that, man. So you know I worked in Atlanta at 92.9 The Game. When the station launched, Lonzo, they were 24/7 local. In Atlanta. So the worst shift and the shift that they put me on was 2 to 6 a.m. I was grateful to be on a major station in Atlanta, even if you put me 2 to 6 a.m. But the first night the station launched, they had me scheduled from 2 to 6 a.m. And they didn't expect much of me. They knew less of me than they did any of their other hosts. And I had actually had an argument with them because I couldn't believe how low the pay was that I was going to be paid earlier in the day. So it gets to be 1:42 and the show starts at 2, and I'm not there yet. And I actually got a call from the program director wondering if I had quit the job before I showed up to the studio. I got to the studio, I did the show. I get a call at 6:06 in the morning saying, your show is the talk of the whole building, and you knocked everybody's socks off. Come in and have a meeting with us on Monday. So there ended up being a shining light about it, and they loved the energy, the vibe of the show. But Lonzo, at 1:42, Mark Ryan was not in the building for a show that started at 2 a.m., and they were thinking I was no call, no show.
So what you're saying is, over all these years, you haven't changed one bit. You're still coming in right as the show starts.
Excuse me.
We don't have a choice now.
Excuse
we don't
me.
Have a choice now because we're following somebody else, so we have to come in right then.
Yeah.
But,
well, okay, you can do your prep anywhere. What you've never accused me of is not prepping, because you know I do my prep. But I do kind of take liberties sometimes in terms of where I'm doing the prep, which I have no problem with, honestly.
I'm more talking about showing up when the intro's playing. But, you know, now that's perfectly fine.
Oh, I show up in the studio when the intro's playing.
Yeah, and there have been times, especially early on, that I wondered, okay, did he decide Greenville is not for him and he's already gone? Yes.
You haven't wondered that.
Oh, yes, I have.
Stop it.
I have.
Stop it. Come
or
on.
I did. It's been a year now. So
okay.
Now I'm used to it.
So Diddy says, look at the list of players who have gotten a unanimous vote. It starts and ends with Mariano Rivera, so no Griffey, no Nolan Ryan, no Babe Ruth. Not that upset that Jeter didn't get 100% when 100-plus better players didn't either. He's in. That's all that matters. There's not 100 better players than Derek Jeter. There isn't one that I'd rather have up in a clutch situation, period. Number two, that's not the criteria, Diddy. It's not who gets unanimous votes. It's do you belong in the Hall of Fame or do you not? And if any voter's voting on any criteria other than that, they should be stripped immediately, period. Lonzo has a fantastic best thing we heard for you today lined up for you. That is coming your way next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate. Let's see here. A tweet coming in from Michael Cobbs. Mark, what are your thoughts on Zion's return tonight? High hopes or way overblown? High hopes. Excitement. The excitement and the sheer athleticism of Zion Williamson is why he was selected number one overall. And I wondered before the draft if Ja Morant was going to be the better player. I'm certainly leaning that way now. I do firmly believe that Zion Williamson will have either a good or a great NBA career, but I'm really worried about the injuries, and he's a bit of a tweener positionally as well. He's not a great shooter. You've seen him airball some threes, and he's a shorter guy for a power forward position. That said, his passion, his love for the game, and his sheer God-given traits are going to make him a very, very good pro, I believe, and that journey begins tonight. And man, I'm pumped to see it. You going to be watching Zion tonight, Lonzo?
I am. You know, this moment is not too big for him. I mean, he's like LeBron in a way where he's had all the media attention for so long. For some guys waiting this long to make their debut, that come out to be overly nervous, I think he'll be fine. I think they're going to manage his minutes to make sure he doesn't go too hard, and I think he's going to come out and have a decent game.
Fantastic. All right, it is time, as we do each and every show, to get to the very best thing we heard today. Lonzo's in charge of it today. I have no idea what direction he's going to go. What do you got, Lonzo?
All right, first of all, Mark Ryan is going to appreciate this to no end, because I'm about to go bro with Mark Ryan here.
Here we go.
I'm about to save him, and this is going to be just me talking. This is not going to be audio playing. Mark Ryan, you have kale in your teeth. And it looks like that you've been in the deep woods of Lawrence and lived there, and you might want to take care of that if you were going someplace public tonight. This is the best thing you've heard. Trust me, you're working on it now. This may require a mirror and some attention. I nearly fell out of my chair earlier because it's not just one tooth. It was a couple teeth. So
okay,
there you go.
So here's the deal. Here's the deal. First of all, get it right. It's not kale.
It's collard greens.
Collard greens.
Collard greens.
Okay?
My bad.
Collard greens.
By the way, I've had collard greens a bunch. I like the collard greens.
So you should be able to tell the difference that is not kale, right?
Well, it's broken up, you know, kale.
It's broken up significantly more than kale would be.
Saying you have kale in your teeth is a lot easier than saying you have collard greens.
I could feel it in my teeth. Alonzo's like, Mark, I don't have a best thing I heard today. And then all of a sudden he goes, I got something. And I was very, very suspicious about the direction that he was going to go, and now I know why.
Now,
as if the mustache wasn't bad enough.
I was going to say, you're already sporting the mustache. You don't want to look like you don't have any teeth either.
So you're saying mustache and collard greens in the teeth, I can get Scarlett Johansson? What do you think? I'm a downright Tom Selleck with this thing. Let's just call a spade a spade here.
You are, man. The collard greens might be a proof that you're eating healthy.
That's what I'm saying, Lonzo. It's proof that I'm eating healthy. So stop highlighting all the flaws in my appearance, many of which you have caused.
Dude, I'm helping you out. Most people wouldn't tell you.
Zion goes for 20-10 in his debut tonight. We're going to have all the analysis of that debut coming your way tomorrow. As is always the case, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you so much for making this show what it is. We throw the party, but the party isn't much without you. Thank you so much for being a part of the most interactive sports radio show in the upstate of South Carolina. You are Offsides with us, Mark Ryan and Lonzo, right here on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.